Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and I'm so excited to be joining you for our new season of Transparency in Christ. It's Friday evening. I'm broadcasting live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So excited about our topic tonight. And our topic tonight is mastering your thoughts in marriage, mastering your thoughts in marriage. Have you ever allowed your thoughts to run away from you when it comes to your spouse? Maybe you just had an argument and now you can't reach him or her and you begin to assume the worst. Maybe your husband's out at the club, or maybe your wife's still mad at you and refusing to answer your telephone calls as a way of punishing you. Is that really love? How do we master those thoughts that may come to our mind and start to assume the best about our spouses? So we're going to talk about it tonight with my special guest in just a moment. Before we go ahead and get started, how about we pray? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to be able to share with those that are out there that may be struggling in their marriages, oh God. Strengthen them tonight, Father. I pray, Father, that they hear a word tonight to help encourage them, Father, to help encourage them in their marriages, oh God. Maybe they're stuck tonight, stuck in a certain way of thinking, oh God. Maybe that way that they're thinking, Father, is based on past relationships tonight, oh God. Father, help them tonight. Help them to renew their minds tonight, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you just, Father, help them for the days ahead, oh God. Help them not to lose hope tonight, Father. We know, Father, that we can put all our hope and all our trust in you, oh God. Father, for you want the best for us, Father. You said that the thoughts that you have towards us are good and not evil, oh God. Thoughts to bring us to an expected end, the end that you have for us, Father, a prosperous one. So we just thank you for that tonight, Father. We thank you for the thoughts that you have towards us, oh God. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word leading and your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth, oh God. So we thank you for your Holy Spirit tonight reigning and ruling over this broadcast, oh God. We thank you for you taking control. We thank you for no technical challenges, Father. We thank you for the woman of the hour, First Lady Joanna Coles, oh God. Father, we pray that she speaks in boldness tonight, Father, and only says what you have to say concerning the matter, Father, that those may be encouraged to do things God's way in their marriages. So we thank you for that tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you're just tuning in, thanks for joining Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the word of God. My special guest tonight is First Lady Joanna Coles. Welcome, First Lady. How you doing?
Good evening, Sister Talisha. How are you? I'm well.
I am so glad that you're doing well. It's Friday night. Thank goodness we made it through the week, right?
Amen. A little cold and chilly and snowy out here, but we're here and God is blessing us even still.
Yes, he is. Thank God for that, I tell you.
Thank God.
Thank God. Well, I'm so excited about what you have to share tonight. How about you tell our listeners a little bit about you, anything that you want to share about yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Sister Talisha. My name is Joanna Coles. I am the wife of Bishop Lloyd Coles III for 30 years. As of December, we've been married for 30 years, and we had two adult children and two little bit. Yay! And two little grandbabies, Zoe and Matthew, that we just love dearly. And I currently serve, I'm a conference speaker, workshop speaker, I'm wife and mom, wife first, that's first ministry is wife, and then mom. But I do minister, and my husband is a jurisdictional prelate, and I do serve as the director of women's ministries and as his administrator for the Convention of Covenanting Churches, Jurisdiction 3. And so that kind of keeps me busy and in full-time job. But I'm still working, and I do love the Lord. But my passion is ministry. And the theme of my ministry, if you will, is like Psalms 119 and 30. It says, the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. And I believe the word of God comes and not just the the logos, but the rhema word comes to bring light in dark in situations. And sometimes darkness is just our ignorance. We just don't know. But the word of God allows men and women to come into our lives with a rich word that will bring enlightenment and light to our world so we can move forward and in our purpose.
Amen. I believe that. I believe
Amen.
That. Amen. And it was just a blessing how we connected through our sister in Christ. And it was through women in ministry. We met in Virginia, and you were such a blessing there. And I couldn't, the Lord would have you to be on the broadcast tonight to help encourage those wives in their marriages or those husbands.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get some husbands that listen in as well. And I'm sure they'll get a word tonight as well to help strengthen them in their marriage.
I believe so.
I believe that as well. Well, you know what? Without delay, I'm going to turn this broadcast on over to you to share what the Lord has placed on your heart about mastering your thoughts in marriage.
Amen. Okay, let's jump right into it. I'm a bold speaker, and I believe that we need to be transparent because life is real. The things that we go through in the body of Christ or whoever we're listening right now, life is real. Things happen to us, and we have to learn it, but in the body of Christ, that God is there, and he's faithful to help us to get through whatever we deal with. Like I said earlier, I've been married for 30 years to the same fella, and during those times, I've learned a lot, whether it's 30 years, 3 days, or 30 days, what have you. When you're in marriage, stuff happens, and it's real. Life does happen, and sometimes you find in marriage, we deal with disappointments, and things come in. Depends on what, like, work out like we want them to work out. And sometimes people get married for the strangest and craziest reasons. I've heard people say, well, I got married to her because she could help keep me safe, or I married him because he can make me happy. Too often we get married with unrealistic ideas and for the wrong reasons. And when we do that, we think that, well, I'm going to go ahead and get married, and then we can fix it along the way, because we like to fix stuff along the way. But ideally, you would discuss whatever issues or things you may have seen or ideals you have prior to getting married. But most of the time, that doesn't happen. But ideally, it would. But in those cases when it doesn't happen and you're going through your marriage and things happen, there are times in marriage that we're going to fail our spouse. We're not going to always make the mark. It's not intentional. And then pressures come, whether it's losing a job, sometimes the loss of a child. Different things will come in a marriage that will challenge a marriage. Every marriage will be challenged. It doesn't make, we love each other. Yes, you love each other, and that's good. But your marriage is going to be challenged. It's what we do during those times of challenges and after the challenges that affects what we think and how we think. And I find that, like I said, when we disappoint each other, we don't always hit the mark. We don't always get it right. And sometimes there's challenges, say, for instance, financial challenges. Things may happen with the economy that has been in the past, that bankruptcies have happened and people have to file for bankruptcy and people lose their houses and what have you. People have lost their jobs and people are on unemployment and it's challenging. And sometimes we don't handle those things right. I mean, we, instead of coming together and pray, we look and to think, well, maybe this person should be doing more. Well, why can't they do more? Or why are they doing it like that? And if we get to the point, we get disappointed, and then we get hurt. And after we get hurt, sometimes we get anger and to get angry. And sometimes the anger can turn into a rage. And we don't always express it, but we allow it to fester in our spirit. And it starts festering in our spirit. We start thinking and replaying things over and over and over in our minds. And then it starts just messing with our minds and our thoughts, and we continue to play them over and over again. Instead of expressing them and taking them to God, we take them upon ourselves, and then we become infuriated by things that happen to us. And it's those times that we, instead of just releasing them, we harbor them. And the Word of God says that familiar scripture we hear called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love doesn't take, we don't tally, he did this right and I did this wrong. He did this wrong two times and he did this right, I did this right two times. Love doesn't sit back and tally up things, the right and wrong. Because I find that in marriage, when we don't stop to express and discuss and communicate with our spouses, and then when something does happen, a disagreement happens, we bring up all this stuff we've been holding in for all this time that's not even relevant to the situation, and it blows up because it's been festering in our spirits and in our thoughts and our minds, and we keep playing things over and over again. And the more we hold things in, we stop. We no longer value. I believe we no longer see the value in our spouses, but we start seeing the parts that irritate us more than the parts that we appreciate. People call it the 80-20 rule. You see the 20%, and the song says to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative, but we flip that. We start accentuating the negatives and eliminating the positive because we just start focusing in on the stuff that we think is wrong with them. And it's not, then, you know what, Sister Talisha, it's not necessarily anything wrong with them. Sometimes it's just the way that they really, really are. And in our process of being unrealistic and trying to make them one person that we think they should be, instead of understanding who God has made them to be, we become frustrated, and then our focus gets skewed, and our perception of ourselves gets a little skewed.
That's right.
And so when we don't start, and you know, I found out, I found out that when we truly, truly see our spouses as God, the authentic individuals that God has made them, not who we want to make them or who our mothers think they should be or our fathers or our friends or whoever, because people like to give their opinions about your spouses if you let them do that. I don't encourage you to let people do that about your spouses, but people will do that. And in doing that, we fail to see them as God really truly sees them. But when we can get to the place and discover and acknowledge and appreciate the individual, the spouse that God has given us, that's a form of worship to God. And because we're saying, God, we appreciate this person who you made fearfully and wonderfully in your image and in your likeness. And in doing so, that's a form of worship to God. But what I was saying about how all this stuff, it gets stored up in your mind. When we start really doing a distorted perspective, if you will, when we don't think, when we start thinking about our mates in a negative way, our perception is distorted. And then we start seeing every little thing that we don't like. Oh my gosh, he! I don't like the way his hair is combed, and I don't like the way that dress fits her. I don't like that color on her, and he belches too loud at the table. And his, you know, we see every, and we start nitpicking. We'll nitpick and we'll hold and we'll nitpick. And let me just be transparent. I remember a time when our marriage was challenged because my husband lost his job. I lost my job. And we went to a place of financial distress, if you will. And you know, you're thinking, well, I'm doing this and why isn't he doing that? Instead of really kind of discussing it, I began to harboring stuff in my spirit against my husband. And in doing that, I start to see everything that I thought that was wrong with him. That's what I was looking at, was everything that was, what's wrong with him, and not looking at myself, but I found everything that was wrong, and I would not say it out loud, but what I find it was happening, my actions were changing toward him because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, because you're going to do whatever you think. It's going to play out in your actions. And I started acting suddenly indifferent toward him, and my thoughts was like, well, why isn't he? He could be better at this and better at doing that. Instead of discussing my being candid and transparent with him, I harbored things, and I became distorted in my way I saw him, and it affected how I interacted with him and felt about him. And then I'll be very transparent. one time the Lord actually got me up out of my bed in the middle of the night and told me, when you learn to appreciate the man I've given you, like I've given to you, you're going to be better off. Now, that was my aha moment, because I had let my mind wander. I had let my thoughts go to another place where they shouldn't have been. And instead of saying, you know, okay, instead of taking them to the Lord, I was, and sometimes we have, we'll say, well, Lord, fix them. And the prayer should be, me first, Lord, deal with me. And it's not all the time it's them, it's just how we, our perception of them. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to really come in and communicate with us and we communicate with him, he will show us who we are. He'll put that big old mirror up and say, you know, it's not necessarily him, it's how you're thinking about him. These are my thoughts toward him. Your thoughts toward him are not like my thoughts toward him, and that's why you're distorted, and that's why there's sometimes a rumbling and or disconnect, because we've allowed ourselves the unfortunate privilege to let our thinking, our thoughts go awry about our spouse. You know, well, why, you know, why did he leave the room to take that phone call? It may be just he was going to have a conversation with somebody that he didn't want to disturb you while you were watching television. He's not trying to hide anything from you. Or why did he get in so late? You know, I didn't hear the traffic was that bad. Well, you may not have heard it, but things always happen on the highway. It's always reported on the news. But right. When we really start to understand the mate that God has given us and truly appreciate them for who God says they are, we are our thoughts. You know, it makes no difference what challenge will come up, because our thoughts will understand who God has given us and will appreciate that individual. And we will just let our thoughts be pure, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are a good report. The scripture in Philippians tells us to think on these. If we think on the good things about our mates and not so worried about the negative things that, you know, well, why is his fingernail so long? Or why is this thing? You know, well, get the clippers and help him, you know, sit down while you're watching TV. Make it an intimate moment. You clip his fingernails. You know, don't just look and peck for the little things that can cause annoyance. But let your mind reflect on the goodness that he is, that he gets up in the morning and says good morning, that he does go get the car for you warming up in the morning, or she does put that extra piece of meat on the plate or whatever. She cooks that meal that you like special for just for you. It's how we think about our mates that determines how we act toward our mates. And if you stick thinking too far off, because you'll start thinking, well, the grass is greener on the other side. And in those moments when we're, our minds are weakened by distorted thinking, the enemy knows how to come in and have the wrong person contact us at the wrong time. And whether it's an old boyfriend or old something, old flame, or somebody on the job that wants to take you to lunch or whatever, when money is low in your house, something, well, let me take you out to lunch. Sometimes you don't go to lunch, just go ahead and fast and use that time for fasting and prayer and praying that God will continue to bless and help your marriage and your finances. Don't, you know, be wise. You know yourself and you know when you're vulnerable. Don't give in to that moment when Bill says, hey, let's go to lunch, when you know there's not money in your pocket because things are a little stressful. You know, that's all right. Spend that time in fasting and praying, because it's those little subtle things. It's when there's those little foxes that kind of slip in and can snatch things away. And so and doing that, you stay focused, you become aware, you stay in tune to what God is, how he wants you to move forward in the marriage. Like I said, it's those times when we're vulnerable and we start looking, and you know what? The grass may be greener. Look, because they said the grass always looks green on the other side, but sometimes the grass truly is greener. But what I tell people, Felicia, that is not your yard. The grass might be greener, but that's not your yard.
I know that's right.
That is not your yard.
That is not your yard. Tend to your spot. Tend to your spot.
Water your lawn with some love and send some prayer. Water and fertilize it with intimacy. You grow, you tend to your lot. The grass might be greener, but they're tending to their grass. You tend to your own and pull up the weeds and the brown spots and break up the solid ground in your own marriage. That's what I'm talking about. And it's the subtle, it's the little things that can get you in. But you know what? We have to be on our guard. We have to understand where you are. And you know what? I found the best thing to do that, well, the best thing for me is exposure. You have to, we have to become trusting enough with our spouses that we can share with them and listen, honey, I'm having, this is how I feel. One thing that will always destroy the works of the enemy is when we expose him for who and what he truly is. I've had to go to my husband, and people might say, get at me, but that's okay. This is what the Lord told me to do, because I allowed my thoughts to get to a place that, like I said, I was indifferent. I actually physically sat at his feet and asked him and shared with him what was going on and said, I need you to forgive me. I know people say, oh, you don't have to do all that. Well, you know what? I did. Because it was just right to do, because I had made myself, I had gotten completely out of my thoughts, had gotten my actions, my attitude was not right toward him. It was not, and people said submit, and the Bible says to submit, it means to agree. I wasn't agreeing with him in my spirit, and my actions weren't agreeing with him. I wasn't walking alongside of him. My actions were my thoughts were thinking above and before our him. We were not in agreement. And it wasn't him. It was me. And I physically sat at his feet and asked him, I need you to forgive me. Because you know what? I haven't been having good thoughts towards you. Now, people, you know, that worked for me, because I had to bring Joanna into some subjection. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection. That's what it took for me, because that's what was needed, because I allowed my thoughts to take me to a place where they shouldn't have gone, because I was seeing him in the wrong light. It was disrespectful, if you will. It was a disrespectful air. And I find that if when we can humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, and sometimes it may take, if you're having challenges in marriage with your thoughts, if you can't go to your spouse right away, number one, I recommend do not talk about your marital problems to the opposite sex. That's no,
amen.
Number one. Number two, don't talk about your marital problems with unbelievers. No, number two, that's no. First of all, no, number one. No, number two, don't talk about your marital problems with unbelievers. That's not going to work. And then what you need to find is someone. It doesn't have to be in your church if you're not comfortable, but you need to find someone that's godly and spirit-filled and spirit-led and not is going to listen to you and give you good godly counsel of how to handle your situation. Because when you talk about, and then sometimes I've known situations that even in the church, even if the person is in the church that they're saved, opposite sex, you still don't talk about your problems with that to that,
right,
that individual. And and if you do, you need to have your spouse right there with you.
I agree.
You need to have them right there, right beside you. There is no meeting Brother Bill, Brother David. Brother David's having some problems with Sister Mary. So I'm going to know. Brother David having some problems. I know I've had a young man, he called me. I said, you know what, you need to talk to my husband. That's the first thing I said. You need to talk to my husband about the situation that you're having with your spouse. Why don't you talk to him? I'll be happy to, and I happily hand it over the phone to my husband, because the enemy has all type of traps that he can set
right
to you. And we have to be wise. We have to understand what they are and what they are. So like I said, when you're having challenges in your marriage, first, find an older man that who understands and knows and can give you some guidance and won't talk to tell you some crazy, ungodly advice to make your situation worse. And women, find an older, not necessarily an older person, even if it's a person who has a spirit of an older, has a seasoned spirit, that can give you some godly counsel and wisdom. And I tell you, go back to the place of where you began. There was a place where you first fell in love, common ground. That place is still there. Meet your spouse there, whether it's just over, let's go to the park and share a bag of chips, and let's talk about where we are. Communication has it exposes the work of the enemy, when you can tell your mate what's going on and how you feel, 9 times out of 10, there may be instances, yeah, 9 times out of 10, your spouse will understand. And men are different. When you tell them things, they're not always gonna respond because they have to process things. But if you tell them in the spirit of which you tell them, not with the hand on the hip and the rolling of the eyes and the shaking of the neck and all that foolishness, tell them in love. You speak the truth in love even to your spouse and just let them know, this is where I am. I'm having some challenges here. And share that with them so they can understand where you are. And in doing so, you can have peace in your mind. You can bring your thoughts under subjection and bring them into the obedience. You know, bring them under, you know, let your thoughts be in line with the thoughts with God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that your mind becomes in line with the word of God. Because God wants us to be at peace in our homes and in one with in our marriage. It creates a spirit of unity. And the fact that your spouse will appreciate that she trusts me or he trusts me so much that I can come to him or I can come to her and just share my thoughts and say what I need to say in the right spirit, in the right way. That's how you master your thoughts. When the thoughts are not pure, when they're not godly, when they're not a good report towards your spouse, the way to master them, number one, is first you take them to the Lord, and then and let the Lord help you deal with the situation and bring your thoughts and the suggestion to the obedience of Christ. That's where you start. And then there are times because you are communicating, if your thoughts have taken to a place that has affected your actions, you need to go to your spouse and ask for forgiveness. I believe in asking for forgiveness because I don't want my prayers to be hindered. With all that we face in nowadays, it's a praying time. We want our prayers to be heard and not hindered. I don't need to do anything to have my prayers hindered. I need a direct line to God all the time, 24/7. And whatever it takes for that to happen, I'm willing to do. And lots of times, it's a matter of us, I'm thinking for the standard of women, we have to stop trying, accept who the Lord is. You said that the Lord, this God said this Boaz to me, and that's one line that our women will use in a heartbeat. This is my Boaz. Oh, God, send me my Boaz. Okay, fine. When Boaz starts acting like you think he act like Bozo, don't trip. Stop tripping because the thing that happened in your marriage or how he's behaving, but behavior most of the time was there before you got married because what you see is what you get. Now, you might not have looked the other way when you were dating before you got married, but it was there. It's nothing new.
Amen.
You just happened to use out of the love cloud, out of your coming down, your fear touching the ground. Now you're seeing it. It was there. So God, in his infinite wisdom and his grace, will give you the grace to handle what he has blessed you with. Because God, if the blessings of the Lord make us rich and they add no sorrow. So if there's a challenge there, God will give you the grace to deal with, to make that challenge into a joy. And not be sorrowful, but make it a joyful occasion, or make it that you can handle it together. It is not meant that we, whatever challenges come in our marriage, they should be done together. I just dealt with my husband being ill. Never in our marriage had he been ill, but in twice in the month of August he had congestive heart failure. Never, never, never. And healthy man. And everything shifted. And I'm the extrovert, and he's more of an introvert. Like I said, when I tell people, I'm the kite that ties his tail to the rock, and he's my rock, and he lets me just do my thing. And while I'm, you know, he holds the anchor, and I'm the kite. And that's pretty much the analogy of how our relationship works, but it works.
Amen.
But the rock was a little, it was a little shifted. And the kite had to come down and then swoop under and become the support for the rock. But it was a challenge I had never faced before in my life. But God, in his infinite wisdom, I didn't buckle. I just stayed the course of realizing God is here in the midst of it. And I kept in a spirit of worship. Worship keeps your mind straight. in any situation in your marriage. Worship will keep your mind straight. And to reiterate, when we truly appreciate the gift of the spouse, of that authentic individual made in the image of God that God has given us, that God, you made this person like this, and God, you gave them the habits that you allowed them to have. God, you're in it. I don't understand it, but you're in it. And if God will even show you where he's in those quirky things, those idiosyncrasies that we may not understand, because if that's who God has made, then everything that God has made is good. And when we can appreciate and applaud that and not try to change or quote-unquote fix him or fix her, we worship God because we appreciate the beauty of who he has given us in our life.
You had so much for Lady Joanna. I wrote so much down. You know what? I did. I'm telling you, golden nuggets. You know what? I wanted to backtrack because you talked about in the beginning about there's times in our marriage when we may fail our spouses and miss the mark. I thought that was so powerful. It's all about perception. We perceive that they have missed the mark, and then we kind of, like you said, sometimes you look down on them. You know, we sometimes look down on them, and we shouldn't. There's a partnership. The two become one. Like you said, when your husband got sick, you had to help him. So that the role shifted a little bit in your relationship. Sometimes, as a result, like you said, things happen. Life happens in our relationship. And like you said, there may be some challenges that we may have to face, financial, whatever the challenge may be. But sometimes we harbor, like you said, those feelings, and they begin to fester. Some of those hurts, some of those pains as a result of us, like you said, maybe we don't handle it properly, and then we hold on to it. And I found myself stuck there for a while several years ago, stuck holding on to those feelings, and you can't progress. Can't move forward because you're stuck. You're stuck in that little cycle of thoughts, essentially. That cycle of your behavior towards your spouse, because it does manifest itself outwardly, and we're continuing to think that way. How do I let go those hurtful feelings, those resentments, for those that may be out there that have those feelings towards their spouse? They want to move on. How do they let it go?
Best thing I know of is you have to forgive. Yeah, and he may have blown it, but you have to forgive. You have to be willing to let it go. Psalm 13 says, love does not take tally or hold on to the things that don't go right. We're not sitting back with a tally, you're taking your score. But we are honest with our, first be honest with yourself. I'm angry about this. I am really, and you may have to go to the Lord. Lord, I am really angry with the way this was handled. I know you know, but I'm letting you know. And the Lord is not afraid of anything. There's nothing you can tell God that's going to make him buckle up or fold or surprise him anyway. He knows how you feel anyway. But it's good for you when you speak it out of your mouth to him.
Amen.
Lord, I'm angry, and I am not held as well. And you know, I have told the Lord, and he's not surprised, and say what you want. Lord, I don't like him right now.
Because he knows you.
Right now, Lord. Lord, I am not feeling this man, and I don't like him right now. I don't like him. I love him, but I'm not feeling him right now. I have told the Lord that, and we laugh, and when he ministers, he tells people, I don't like my wife all the time, and it's mutual. We don't always, but we love consistently. But the liking, the way of your behavior, we don't like each other all the time. That's just real. And so when you're transparent with And it is. And some days I don't like him. Some days he doesn't like me. But we love each other. But that was just the our love goes beyond the circumstance. The commitment is forever. The situation is just for a moment. and that's the way we function. But the thing is, you have to be honest with yourself. You come clean with yourself and with God. God, I am angry. I'm disappointed. I resent this man. I don't like him. Lord, I don't even have the same respect for him that I used to have. But I want my marriage, and I know you blessed me with this man, so I need you to help me. When you do that, when you really go to God and ask for his help, God will, in his own wonderful way, I can't tell you how, I'm not going to give you a formula for how he'll do it, but I'm a witness that he will. When you will release, when you let down that guard and you allow that crusted heart to become a pound of flesh again, and the Lord will he will resuscitate and he will revive and renew the love you have. If you ask him, he will do that for you. I've asked him, and he's done it for me. If you say, God, yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm disappointed. Yes, I'm hurt. This is not what I bargained for. You know, and for some women, I can do that all by myself. But guess what? You're not by yourself. There's someone there in your life, and God, I shouldn't feel like this. I need your help. And that's when the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will come in again to help you to deal with the situation. Step one, be honest about it. Be transparent. Number two, forgive. Forgive the mistakes. Forgive the disappointment. Forgive. Number three, communicate. Because when you allow the Lord to come in, you're honest, he'll start changing the way you think. And if he sees the way you think, he'll change the way you act. He'll change the way you speak. Your words will become softer. Because sometimes we may not say anything, but our nonverbal communication is just as strong as the verbal. Because when we
Absolutely.
Because we throw, as the kids say, we throw shade or we throw attitude.
That's right.
That's where it comes out. When we're honest with ourselves and with God, then we ask for forgiveness, and then we talk, and then we begin to communicate with our spouse. That's how we move forward, because you're right. If you don't, you get stuck. You get stuck, and you won't move forward, and you'll start to dwindle and dwarf. The relationship starts to dwarf and dissolve and disintegrate. But if we are honest with ourselves and we're honest with the Lord and then with our mates, God will come in and help us, and he will restore, and he'll renew, and he'll revive. And I'm not, you know, sometimes they say, I want to make it like it was. I want to go back. No, I don't. And sometimes we make the mistake when things happen and we forgive each other. We try to go back and reclaim where what we had before. How about we just start from where we are and move forward? Because you cannot change the past. You cannot change the hurts. You cannot change the failures. But what you can do, you can move forward, and you can forget those things behind. And you don't have to. And you reach forward together. You move forward together to fulfill the purpose that God has for you, individually and collectively. I mean, sometimes we make the mistake and we buy into a worldview of thinking that, well, when you think you got to go back to, you know, rekindle where you were. No. Start from where you are and move forward. Don't reach back, because if you reach back, you got to go through that message and that you came from. Reach forward. Move forward. You can't trip over the past. You have to. The only way you trip over the past is when you go backwards. Move forward from that point on and keep on going and keep learning and keep growing and just keep the lines of communication open. And when those thoughts, when they try to revisit you, you have to be mindful of them, because the Satan is an accuser of the brother. He'll come and remember when you thought, but you said, but you know what? But that's, I've been forgiven. It's under the blood, and I'm moving forward. You have to just shut him down. When he comes back to bring those old things, thoughts to your mind, you have to shut him down. You have to shut the enemy down. And that's the way you master your thoughts in your marriage and in every other part of your life, but specifically today in marriage. That's how you master that.
Amen. Well, I think we have a caller. Bear with me just for a moment. Let's see here. Thanks for calling Transparency in Christ. You're on the air. Did you have a comment?
Hi, this is Ivy. Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Did you have a question or a comment for First Lady Joanna?
Oh, hi. Yes, I just have a comment. I wasn't able to get on the call when the call started. So I had come in just before the minister was speaking about when her husband got sick. And so the role kind of reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through that specifically. My husband was ill. He's been ill for some time. So he's more of an introvert now. And I'm not going to say I'm outgoing, but I might be a little bit more than he is right now. And so it's been a struggle. It's been a learning experience for me. It was certainly humbling. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
things happen and, you know, things change, you know, with the sickness. So
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out how I can say this.
Things change in the bedroom. Some illnesses bring a change in your sex life. Some illnesses bring a change.
Well, no, it's not exactly that. I think maybe, I don't know, it just seems like he may be a little bit stuck, you know, where he
mm-hmm.
is in his sickness. I'm not sure,
mm-hmm.
you know, what that's doing for, you know, how that's affecting him mentally. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, I'm kind of like, come on, you got to push forward, you got to push forward. So sometimes I get angry when I probably
mm-hmm.
shouldn't. I should be more understanding.
Right.
But
right.
I also remember you saying sometimes we miss the mark. And
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I get aggravated when certain situations come up and I do go to God. And
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, I mean, God will address the entire situation, but he always addresses me first.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember, I see where I've missed the mark plenty of times, and you know, he's missed the mark, but I can honestly say that he always, I have his back, but he always has my back. Even when we would have a disagreement, I've gotten better. He was the one that wanted to talk, but it would escalate into an argument, and I was the one that shut down. I always shut down. I just want to talk to you forever and ever and ever, and I knew I was wrong, but I was too stubborn, you know. But now it's not like that. He, you know, we have a disagreement, something happens I don't like, but we just talk about it now, and nobody gets mad. So I just thank God for that, but I can relate to just about everything you've said.
Praise God. And sometimes when illness comes, there, I'm not saying it can cause a depression, if you will, or sadness, because
right.
with men, they think about where I used to be when I can't do anymore. And men need to be needed by us and know that they're contributing in one way, shape, or form. But what I encourage you to do, you treat him like the man, you treat him with the same enthusiasm and appreciation that you did when he was up and more healthier, but and remind you, you know, I still, you know, you're still my guy. I think the world of you. Make sure he knows that you don't think any less of him because of where he is right now. Remind
right.
him, encourage him to realize that I love you just as much as I did before when you were healthier, if you will, and speak life. Speak health and wholeness to your husband. Lay when he's sleeping. I encourage you. I'm going to tell you for what I did. I spoke every day. I spoke life into my husband. I prayed over him. I laid hands on him. And I confessed that healing is the children's bread. And God, this is your child. And I declare that he will live and declare your works. And he will be whole. And pray and help his. The Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers." Feed his soul.
Amen.
Because
okay.
when a man's soul prospers, his whole body, his physical will prosper. Feed his soul. What to enlarge his soul, whether it's through songs or hymns, spiritual songs, uplifting things, books or words or music. Feed his soul. When his soul is healthy and fat and enlarged, his health will be renewed and speak healing to your husband. And let him know, baby, I think you just as great as you were in the day that I met you. It doesn't matter what we are, my love for you is just as intense as it was then. It that was back ago is just as intense, if not more so today. Remind him that you still think he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Right, and I do remind him, not probably not as much as I should, but his what he's stuck on is he's not working. He's still providing, which, you know, I tell him that you're still providing for us, but he's not working, and he feels that if he's not working, he's not doing. But that's not
but you
true.
Know, I understand that, and you know what? And because he has worked, and done what he has done, he now is still able to provide. So you know, you are still handling it. You holding it down because you did do when you could do. Now that you can't, it's still happening. Help him to see it in that maybe that, you know what, because you did do when you could do, baby, now that you can't do it, you're still handling it because we have this because you did work. So you're still
right.
Providing. Remind him of that, you know, and like I said, but he needs to feel that he's needing and contributing. I understand that. Remind him, yes, thank you for if he's doing anything around the house, thank him for it. Yes, baby, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, I really appreciate that. Help let him know that he is needed and still contributing in your life.
Okay. I can definitely do that.
And yeah, I know you can.
Amen. Well, I hope that helped you, Miss Ivy.
Yes, it did. Very much so.
Well, praise God.
Amen. Well, I'm going to put you back on hold if you still want to listen in. Sound good?
Yes, that's fine.
All right. Thanks for dialing in. Appreciate you.
All right.
God bless.
Amen. Well, how about we do this, First Lady Joanna? How about we listen to some encouraging music, and then we'll come back. And I wanted to talk to you about one of the things that you said was sometimes when we are going through those difficult situations in our marriage, how like I said, we just need to take control of those thoughts. How do we take control of those thoughts that may be running around in our head? We have made a conscious decision. I'm going to do this God's way, and I'm going to love my spouse the way they deserve to be loved. But, you know, sometimes the past always tends, like you said, rise up and hinders us. How do we cast those thoughts down? What can we do? What are some practical things that we can do to master our thoughts? So we'll talk about that when we come back from break. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, how about we listen to some encouraging music, because we know we need Christ in everything that we do. I'm going to play One Night with the King by Juanita Bynum and Jonathan Butler. Enjoy.
Amen.
With the King changes Coffee at least occasionally? Looking to lose a few extra pounds? Now you can have the best of both worlds. Drink coffee and lose weight. Montevita isn't just another cup of coffee. It's a brewed beverage infused with ingredients proven to accelerate fat loss by increasing the metabolism. For a free sample, contact DND Wilson at dndwilson.biz with your name and address, or visit www.dndwilson.biz. D.N.D. Wilson Montevita are proud sponsors of Transparency in Christ Radio.
Welcome back to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and we are talking about tonight mastering your thoughts in marriage, mastering your thoughts in marriage. And I have my special guest, First Lady Joanna Calls, with me. Welcome back.
Okay, Sister Talisha. How are you?
So glad. I mean, you have shared such wisdom with us tonight. If I could recap for those that may be joining in, we are talking about mastering your thoughts in marriage. And I know, First Lady, you said sometimes when in marriage, life gets real. There's some things that happen to us, some challenges that we may encounter in our marriages, whatever they may be. And sometimes in those difficult times in our marriage, we may fail our spouse and we may miss the mark. Sometimes we don't handle things the proper way, and sometimes as we don't handle things the proper way, sometimes maybe we may hurt one of our spouses, maybe we get angry, maybe we're upset, maybe we start to grow bitter. Some of those things begins to fester in our spirits, and we don't know how to let it go. And just before break, you told us how to let it go. You said, first off, forgive. Be honest with the Lord. Tell the Lord how you truly are feeling, whether it's you're angry with the spouse, whatever it may be. Be honest with yourself and with the Lord, because the Lord knows there's nothing that he doesn't know. Then you said communicate. Communicate is so important, to communicate with our spouse. And like you said, a lot of the time that exposes the plan of the enemy. Okay, because he seeks to destroy us, and it's nothing like dividing and conquering, right? Nothing like dividing and conquering. So if we communicate with our spouses, and again, as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can ask them for their forgiveness. We can ask them for their forgiveness, and pray and ask the Lord. And it's our hope that he would revive our marriages and revive the love that we have for our spouse. Revive the love that we have for our spouse. And there's so much more that you said. I'm telling you, for those of you that may be joining in late, you need to go back to transparencyinchrist.com and listen to the show, or listen via blogtalkradio.com and go back and listen to the beginning of the show. I am telling you, First Lady Joanna Coles, you're on fire tonight. On fire. The wisdom of God. I am telling you, just the wisdom of God. I am telling you, I'm enjoying myself. I have pages of notes, I'm telling you.
Oh, my
pages
goodness.
Of notes.
I'm
serious.
I love it.
I am serious. Listen, and if you're on Facebook, like us on Facebook, I am putting little blurbs out there of things that First Lady Joanna Cole said. And one of my favorite quotes for tonight, and you had so many, was, in times of vulnerability in our marriages, we begin to think that the grass is greener on the other side. And you know what? The grass may be greener on the other side, but tend to your own yard. Pull up those weeds and water your own yard. I swear. That was powerful right there. That was powerful. I'm telling you, it's wisdom. And, you know, sometimes some of the things, we just need to hear it. It makes the perfect sense, but we just need to hear it. You know?
Practical.
Sometimes we just,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. We just need to hear it. Okay? Speaking of practical advice, you mentioned mastering your thoughts. Okay, so we've harbored those things. We've asked the Lord for forgiveness. We asked the Lord for forgiveness for the way we treated our spouse. Asked the Lord for us to love our spouse the way that they deserve to be loved, and the way, and help us to see them the way that He sees them, so that we can love them how He wants us to love them. And you know, it's the past always tries to rear its ugly head, doesn't it? Always
it sure
tries to
does.
Rear its ugly head.
It
you know,
sure
and
does.
we. You know, we always try, like you said, we don't start from the back, don't start turning around and looking back at what happened. You said start from this place forward and just press forward.
Exactly.
Press
exactly.
forward. Don't look back.
Exactly.
Keep it moving. Don't look back. Keep it moving.
Keep it pushing. That's
exactly.
Right.
Keep it pushing. Keep it pushing. All right, so practical. Let's deal with practical here. And of course, the Word of God is practical within itself.
Yes.
We just need to know how to apply it. For
That's
some of those
exactly
people,
right.
You know, we just need to know how to apply it. For some of those people, they're stuck in that, okay, now we got the past coming back. You know, First Lady, I've been doing good for 3 months. Now here comes the past rearing its ugly head again. What do I need to do? What's some practical things I can do to help me master these thoughts that keep coming up? I've decided to love my spouse, but now here comes this thought again, trying to rear its ugly head. What do I need to do? How do I get out of it?
Okay, how do you get out? The first thing I recommend, when that ugly thought comes, replace it with the truth.
Yes.
You can always annihilate things with truth. You can, and that's something will beat the devil and everything he has, because everything he has is a lie, is the truth. And you speak in that lie of that thought comes to remind you of where you were just replace it with the truth, and you do that with, okay, but the truth is, yes, that happened, but this is where I am now. Stand your ground, speak truth, and continue to speak truth into the situation, because the word of God nullifies all of that. And your truth may be, you know what,
right.
That may be so, if you can't think of anything else, but God, I thank you for him, and I appreciate him. You have to speak life, continue to speak life into your marriage and life over your into your spouse, into your marriage, and continue to do that. Watch, guard, put up the guards, if you will. Guard your marriage by what you, your conversation about your marriage. Don't engage in negative conversation about your marriage. Speak only the things that God has said about you and your marriage. And don't allow anybody else to speak anything, because sometimes we do things, we'll tell somebody when things are going crazy and we've gotten together and they're still tripping off what happened in the past. And they'll try to bring that stuff up. And they'll try to bring that stuff up. We've moved past that, so you have to guard the conversation. If you need to shut that down with your girl or the guy you told the situation to and realize, man, you know what, I'm sorry you even brought that up. We moved past that. Or just cut off communication. If they can't speak anything good about your spouse, don't let anybody talk negative about your spouse, because it's stuck back in your head. And
that's
you
right.
Speak good things over them, when those thoughts will creep up again, you can replace thoughts. You can replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. I know, because I've done it. You can replace and say, okay, but God, this is where I am now. Recenter yourself and refocus. This is where I am now. And watch what you let into your spirit, because some of these, I may get in trouble with this, Talisha.
No, you won't.
Some of these,
tell the truth.
Some of these crazy shows, these housewives of whoever they're from.
It's the truth.
These men are out of control. They're disrespectful. They don't respect themselves, God or man. And we put this stuff in our spirit. We watch this foolishness, and that's getting to your spirit. And that's feeding, it will feed that one little flicker of stuff that may be still left. It will feed and it will ignite that thing. So I encourage you, guard what you put into your, what you have coming in your ears, what you have coming into your, what you see, and to keep your thoughts pure and to maintain the control of those thoughts. Because when they come back, you will have, if you're feeding your spirit with the word of God, with the good things about your spouse, when those thoughts do come back, and they will, you can then arrest them with the truth of the situation, because truth will beat down anything that God can bring to you. Truth is a sure enough beat down. It will beat it down, and it will destroy it. That's the best practical thing I can tell you to do, is just to guard your thinking, continue to speak. Value the relationship that God has given you by investing in it, by speaking good things into it, and allowing only the good things to come into your spirit about the situation. Even if there may be a negative situation or the thought may come up, you know the truth. Truth will arrest any ungodly thought and situation. It will arrest it. It will lasso. It will put a chokehold on it and will kill it. Feed it with the truth. Feed that negative thought with truth. And that's the best practical thing I can tell you to do. The truth of God's word. The truth that I know this man loves you. The truth that I know I love him. The truth that I know God put us together. The truth I know that we can make it. That's practical.
Amen. And you know what? I'm just going to add to that, because I experienced this whole little situation that we're talking about. So one of the things that
me too.
I'm telling you, I was stuck in such a rut, First Lady, for a good 6 months. You know, I was harboring such feelings of bitterness towards my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know how love assumes the best about a person and love wishes no harm on a person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just one of the attributes of love. You know, hey, I have some affection towards you. At some point, I was even like, get him, Jesus. You know, get him, Jesus. Get him from where he's not. I wanted to see him punished. I wanted to see him punished for what he did. You know, and let's just keep it real. This is called transparency.
That's real.
Christ.
That's how we could.
Okay, that's real. I wanted to see him punished. Jesus, you know your daughter. Okay. You know what isn't right. You know what isn't right. Get them, Jesus.
I want him to hurt.
And then,
yes.
Hello. And Lord, you know, God knows. He knows me. He knows who I am. Mm-hmm. And these are real conversations that me and Jesus have. Okay, for those of you that may be out there, it's not deep. I keep it real. Okay?
Nope. You're right. It's not.
It's not deep. Me and Jesus have these real conversations. But I got to the point where I was just stuck in that same little pattern of behavior. I know I'm right. I know he's wrong. But the Lord had to soften my heart. He had to soften my heart and say, okay, Talisha, well, what is it that you're going to do about it? Are you going to love him? You got to make a decision. Are you going to love him or are you stuck in this situation where you just going to harbor unforgiveness? What are you going to do?
That's
so
it.
I had to make a decision. I was at a standstill. I was at a crossroads. Okay, either I'm going to love him with the love of the Lord or I'm going to remain stuck where I am in bitterness and unforgiveness. So I had to get down on my knees and say to the Lord, okay, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry because at that point it was just me being rebellious. Just me being rebellious at that point because Jesus had told me what to do. Okay?
A long time ago.
Okay?
Yes,
can you imagine that 6 months ago, the Lord has given you the answer and you still stuck in the same pattern of behavior?
Holding.
For 6 months, this is what you choose to do. That's deep.
Because you know what it does? It's gratifying. There's something gratifying. Let's be honest. It ingratiates the flesh. That's all it does. There's something that makes us we at the same time we know it's not, but it's something that it's almost a gratifying thing to our flesh because it's not to our spirit. It's gratifying, and you're right. You are so right. We will hold on to that thing like it's our best friend, like a little baby holding on to his blanket. We will hold that thing, and it will become an appendage in our spirits. It's affixed to us. And everywhere we go, we drag it along with us. Yeah,
and you know, I got to the point where I was just sick. I was just sick of me, sick of feeling the way I felt, sick of feeling. And Lord was like, okay, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Are you ready to truly love the way that I designed you to love, not only your spouse, but others? And, you know, I don't think people realize that sometimes the Lord truly uses your spouse to help us to grow and mature. And why
I believe
not?
It.
I mentioned this. I mentioned this the last show before we left in December. Why not? The person that's closest to you, the Lord would use to help mature you and help you to grow. That's one of the avenues He may use. We have to be open in it.
We have to
be open in it.
And you know,
Go ahead, first lady.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, and something you said, you know, when we were talking to the Lord, when we said we're seeking God, and I don't care when we talk about seeking God, whenever we start like seeking God, the first thing He shows us is ourself. That's the first thing we see. And then He holds the big mirror and says, I want you to see this. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep going like you're going, or are you going to let me help you handle this situation? What are you going to do? Because when we say, I'm seeking God and that's fine, because you can't seek God without Him showing yourself. God's not even going to show you your husband. He's going to show you first.
You better believe it.
Up close and personal. In living color, He shows you everything, the good, the bad, the indifferent. You know, and they said, now what are you going to do with it? And then, like you said, He told us 6 months ago to get ourselves together. We're holding on to it like it's our best friend. And then, when you get sick and tired, get sick of yourself and your own mess, finally you said, okay, God, because the way I'm doing is not working. But I find out, Sister Talisha, when our hearts, and He knows we're going to get ourselves together. He knows it.
He does.
You know, He's patient, He's gracious, and He's kind and compassionate. And that's the same way we're to love our spouses. If we can remember how patient God is with us and apply it to our spouses, we're going to be a lot better off. I'll tell you that right now. And in doing
go right ahead. I was just going to say, you know, I thank God you know, God was so merciful to me during that time. Six months of being rebellious and disobedient. I told you, daughter, what to do. Thank God for his mercy and grace. Thank God.
He didn't
strike me down. You know, I could have went on to be on with the Lord. You know, I'm 6 months. This girl right here, she's a mess right here. But thank God he knows me.
Thank God. That's right. And when our hearts are towards God, when we don't make the mark by holding on to unforgiveness and harboring resentment, because our hearts are toward him, he will help us. His grace is sufficient, and if it were not for the grace of God, we would have been consumed and messed up a long time ago. But his grace helps us when we're acting stupid, as I would say, and acting just foolish in our ways. But I'm so glad that he's merciful, and he sees us for who we truly are. He sees the authentic person that he's made us to be, and he knows that when we get ourselves together, we're going to be okay.
First Lady, do you mind praying for those that may be listening in? Praying for those that may be listening out there that may be struggling in their marriages, struggling with mastering their thoughts?
I sure don't. Father God, I bless you today. I bless you for this moment's opportunity to minister to your people. I thank you for the host, Sister Talisha, for God, the vision you've given her to be a blessing to the body in the area of marriage. Father, now I pray for every ear, every home, every heart, your spouse that's listening under the sound of my voice, God, you know where they are in their heart toward their spouse. And if God, if there be any anger, resentment, bitterness, oh God, first of all, we are honest and we bring it to you and we lay it at your feet. And then we ask that you, oh God, help us and to forgive and to move forward. It may be challenging, God, but we're willing. It may be challenging, God, but we know you want the best for us, what's right for us. You want us to love like you love and to have the compassion that you have and have forgiveness that you've forgiven us, God. You've forgiven us when you went on the cross of Calvary. You took every sin and every shame to the cross and you forgave us. And God, you've given us a heart to forgive. And so, God, we willingly forgive. We forgive, oh God. We bring every wrong spirit, thought, attitude, disposition to you, and we lay it at your feet and ask that you pour, oh God, your spirit, your Holy Spirit in us. And let us, oh God, to love like you want us to love. And men hearts and men homes and men marriages, God, help them to bind them, oh God, together even stronger than they were before. Help them to start from this point and move forward into their destiny. Help them, God, to move forward and not to be caught up in the past mistakes and past situations and bring them up, oh God, because you've forgiven them. You've covered them under your blood as we've confessed our faults one to another. You've covered them under your blood. And we move forward, oh God, and we move forward with a positive, healthy, wholesome marriage. God, with you at the center of it all. Jesus, be the center of it all in our marriages, in our homes, God. You be the center. You be the focal point, oh God. And help us as we both grow close to you, God, we grow closer to each other. So help us, God, to guard our minds and to guard our mouths and what we think and what we say, but to speak words of kindness and of love and gentleness, and God, if we cannot at that time give us wisdom when to speak and what to say and how to say, that we be a loving helper in our marriage and that we work together as a team, oh God, for you and be a witness, that our marriage be a light to the world, that men may see you and glorify you, the Father which is in heaven, and bringing men and women, boys and girls to Christ. Let our marriage be a witness, a tool of witness to you, to your kingdom, and to your glory, your goodness and your power, God. We thank you, oh God, for Sister Talisha and her husband, her home. Let your blessings rest upon that marriage, oh God. Continue to let it grow and be strong and be fruitful, oh God, bearing good fruit, oh God, that men may see your works and glorify you. We bless you and thank you, and we give your name praise. We honor you, oh God, and we count this as being done. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I can't believe we're at the end, just about at the end of the show, First Lady Joanna. Is there any last thoughts that you had, anything that you wanted to share, you know, before we end the show tonight?
Just to remember the good things. Speak kind words. Do little things that that you know that they would enjoy their favorite candy bar, their favorite popsicle. It doesn't have to be a Guns N' Roses all the time. It could be your favorite magazine, because of your favorite candy bar, a crossword puzzle book, or just a card, a note saying, I love you, I appreciate you. Do the things that will make your marriage grow. Invest in your marriage by doing the things that the little things, or buying their, their favorite juice drink or something, and remembering that you know that they like, so they'll know that you're thinking about them. And that's an act of love. Do loving acts so that invest in your marriage so you can get a great return. A little seed of love will yield a great harvest of passion and romance and joy and pleasure. So do the little things that sow those seeds of love daily, and not just, and some, if you can't buy anything, send a text of love, send a note of love, send an email of love, leave a voicemail. Call your spouse's job, and if he or she has a voicemail, just leave a message there, so the first thing they can see with the lights blinking in the morning, it's you saying, good morning, I love you, just thinking about you. Send just the things like that to keep love alive and keep the flame aglow in your marriage. And when those times of toughness, challenge do come, you will have invested, you put money, you put resources in there so you can draw from those things. You can then draw from that when the tough times do come, and you can remember and cherish those things. You'll have something to draw from when the tough times do come, because you've invested and you've gotten a return. So I say that to you, and just to continue to love each other.
Well, First Lady, do you have any events or anything coming up that you wanted to share with those that may be listening in, or if they wanted to reach out to you, where they can reach you at?
If they want to reach out to me, they can email me at jbcoles, that's jbcolesmin at gmail.com, that's jbcolesmin at gmail.com. There is a conference coming up in women's conference in May. I'll be at Precious Cornerstone May 9th doing a prophetic prayer session. Another conference coming up in February, a women's conference in Mount Rainier, Maryland. If they contact me, just send me an email, I can give them the information. If they would like for me to come and speak or anything like that at a women's conference, they can contact me at 571-233-5775. That's 571-233-5775, and ask for Mary, and she will check the calendar and see what I can communicate with you, and see if I think she can put me on your schedule for your event. And I appreciate this time, this moment with you, Sister Talisha, for this opportunity. I appreciate your spirit, your loving, your genuineness. Oh my God, this which is so good and rare. I really appreciate it. And thank God for you.
And I thank God for you too. It was just a divine connection. What can I say? What can I say? God is just in the business of doing that. And I love him for it. Love him for doing
that. I love
him.
Love it.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show today to share your wisdom with us. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank Bishop for me for allowing you for sharing you. With me, okay? With me and those that are out there.
I will do that.
Amen. And hopefully we'll talk in the upcoming months as well.
Yes, ma'am. I look forward to that.
Amen. Well, I want to thank all of those that may be out there listening in. Thank you so much for listening in. And like I said, maybe you joined in halfway through the show. In the next few minutes, the broadcast will be available. You can go to blogtalkradio.com and look for Transparency in Christ, and you will see the show with our special guest, First Lady Joanna Coles, out there for you to listen to in its entirety. You can download it and listen to it when you feel like it. And maybe you did hear the whole show tonight. There's other shows that are out there available for you to listen to via the archive as well. Check us out on Facebook as well. Like our page, Transparency in Christ. And for more tips, You can always check us out on Twitter. My handle is TALLISHAR, Talisha R, on Twitter for tips and other marriage information. Well, I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. Join us again next week on Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll be talking again about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. I want to leave you with a song tonight just to encourage you, because God is just so great, so gracious, and I am believing God for total restoration and for, like First Lady said, for Him to restore and revive that passion and that love in your marriages. We want to thank Him for every mountain that He's going to bring us over tonight. So I'm going to play the song For Every Mountain by Kurt Carr and the Kurt Carr Singers. Enjoy. Join us again Friday, next Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. God bless you.
God bless.
New day. That's why. exalted worshiper, Lord. I worship him. Come on, he's brought you over some mountain. Come on, tell him thank you. Come on, tell him thank you. That's it, let's worship the Lord. He desires our praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.